I begin today by saying that a person talked to me this past week and mentioned to me that they had never seen a Star Wars movie and were not at all interested in seeing a Star Wars movie, and I totally understand that. I understand that. Today, I want to give to all of us a way in which we could have a conversation with someone, if it ever should come up in your life, of one of the things that I think is very similar about Star Wars and Christianity. And so I've heard that. I'm going to try to make sure that I bring everyone along, even if you've never seen Star Wars before, so that you can understand what we're trying to learn from the Gospel of Mark, which is very much about the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Every Star Wars movie begins with the same phrase. It says, and it reminds us that the Star Wars are taking place in a galaxy far, far away. They all the stories begin that way, very formulaic. And I say to you today, maybe there are Star Wars going on in galaxies far, far away, but it doesn't really matter, because Star Wars is not really about galaxies far, far away. It's actually about the things that are happening in our lives each and every day. You see, Star Wars don't have to happen in solar systems way out there somewhere in another galaxy. Star Wars are happening in your life and my life right now. When George Lucas began doing these movies, he was talking about the issues that were happening in his life right then through this fantasy galaxy far, far away. He was dealing with issues that were happening in his everyday life. He was talking about things and problems that we were facing in the society that we are living in. And that story has continued to do that over and over. You don't have to go to another galaxy. You don't have to go to another planet. You don't have to go to another country. You don't have to go to another county. You don't even have to leave this building. Every one of you has a Star Wars going on in your life right now. And that's what I want to talk about today. The fight in our lives between good and evil. And it's going on in our lives, and guess what? It was going on in Jesus' time too, and we're going to read about that in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read Mark 1, beginning with verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came, and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. And then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Excuse me. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went through Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God. The beauty, I think, of all of the Star Wars stories and movies that I have ever read is exactly what I said a moment ago. It is about my life. It's not really about something happening in a galaxy far, far away. It's about the battles that we face here in the United States of America every day as we live and work. And just like Simon and Andrew, at some time in my life, I invited Jesus to come into my home. And when I invited Jesus to come into my home, he began to help me fight the battles of my life. He began to make a home with me and stay with me. Before we had Christ in our lives, we struggled to do what was right. But the full force of the Holy Spirit came to live with me, and that fight, that battle, changed. It became easier for me, and I love it when something's going on in my life and I can feel God's presence right there with me. When I can feel God with me, when I feel Jesus there holding my hand in the situation. Jesus took Simon's mother-in-law's hand, and she was healed. Everything changed for her. And I think it changed for her when she believed, when she began to understand, when she began to experience the presence of God in her life. And I'll bet the same thing happened to you in your life as well. I can't emphasize enough that when you invite Jesus into your home and into your life, everything changes. Jesus will help you fight that battle, that Star War that's going on. But the battle is not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about everyone in the world. That evil that is going on and rages all around us. You know, we can't just stay in our home. We've got to leave our homes and go out into the world and be Jesus' presence of love and hope to others. We have to go out and build the kingdom like Jesus was doing on the mission with the first disciples. We have to be the change that the world needs. One of the most important points about the healings in Mark's gospel can be found in the words that Mark used. And let me say this, in the loaded words that Mark used. You see, it says in the scripture we read a minute ago that he touched her and he lifted her up and she was healed. The word in Greek there that's used is definitely a loaded word. It's the same word that is used in chapter 16 when Jesus was lifted up at the resurrection. This woman was not simply picked up. That's not what Mark meant by the story. Mark's using the same word that he used to say that Jesus was resurrected, the word that we would translate as resurrection. And don't think for a minute that this woman was lifted up. It says she was lifted up so she could begin serving. It is not so she can serve, you know, cookies and milk at the party or fix a meal for them. Serve is also very much a loaded word. Look at the way that the same word gets used in Mark 10:45 on the screen. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life for many. The Greek word is definitely different than what we think when we just read the English translation. Jesus lifts us all up and lifts us up so that we can serve, so that we can build the kingdom, so can we can be a part of the community of believers, so that we can be the hope that we are looking for. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus went around during his mission, and he restored people to the community. This woman who was sick in bed would have been shunned by the society that she lived in. People would not have even wanted to visit her at her sick bed. But Jesus healed her and restored her to the community. That's what he did. Excuse me. He went around. He visited people. And he brought them back so that they could be a part of the community. He told people that they had value and they had worth, no matter what their job was, what kinds of things they did in their life. And then in this scripture, the very next morning after these healings, and other people came by and Jesus restored them to the community, and then they had a rest that night. The next morning, I love the lesson that he taught the disciples next. He got up and went out to pray. And what did the disciples say to him? Hey, everyone is looking for you. Where have you been? There's all these people that are here to see you. And Jesus says, I was praying. I was preparing for the battle that I will face, for the star war in my life, in prayer. And sometimes we forget that when we're in relationship with someone, it takes work to keep that relationship going. When you're in relationship with God, you need the time of centering and preparation to face the day. And Jesus begins teaching them that it's important to maintain that connection with God by praying. A time of prayer needs to be higher on our priority to-do list than we sometimes keep it. We have to prepare ourselves to be the change that the world really needs. And I want to go back to Star Wars, so I'm dragging the folks along that haven't ever seen Star Wars. I want you to know who these people are. They're called Jedi Knights, and that one on the top's name is Yoda. He began in the very first film, and these other men down below are Jedi Knights. The Jedi Knights in Star Wars were an order of knights. I think we could think the same thing about medieval knights. They were an order of knights who had what we talked about last week, the Force in their lives, and the challenge that they faced, that they were told to do, was to be the guardians of peace and justice on every planet in the galaxy. That's who those people were and the task that they were given, and the Force helped them do that. Today, in the world that you live in today, the Jedi Knights are not called Jedi Knights. They're called Christians. Because you are the force in the community where you live that is called to bring justice and peace wherever you can. I think this is something that you could talk to a friend about if the conversation ever comes up. Yeah, I've heard a little bit about that. I've never seen a film. But a friend of mine, you can call me a friend, by the way. A friend of mine suggested that maybe Jedi Knights were like Christians in the world that we live in now. Because more and more, being a Christian means being different. And you, as a Christian, are the hope of the world. You are the change that the world needs. You are on the mission that Jesus started with these first disciples that we're reading about in the Gospel of Mark. And you are the ones that are tasked with showing the world that the church is not just a place where people go to get married and buried. That the church is not just a building that the church is a community of people who are fighting for truth and justice in the community where they live, using not the force, but the Holy Spirit. You are the hope of the world. I want you to look at this slide, Dave, or hit those lights. You see that tiny blue image right there that's kind of moving? In the very first Star Wars film, Princess Leia, who's pictured in that little image, had to send a message to the Jedi Knights that she needed help. And there was a little bit of a long message, but basically what the message said is, "You are my only hope. You are my only hope." She needed the Jedi Knights to help save the worlds that they lived in. And my friends, what I'm saying to you today is, that's exactly what the Gospel of Mark is teaching us. If you read the whole thing from the beginning to the end, it is pointing out that you are the only hope. You are the only hope, Keith, because you are going to see some people that none of the rest of us this week are going to see. And you can be the change that the world needs in their lives. And Mark can do that wherever he's going. You really are the only hope to building the kingdom that Jesus imagined, that he challenged the disciples and challenged you to build. Wherever you go this week, you can be the change that the world needs. You are the only hope. Amen? Amen. We'll prepare for the Star Wars that we're going to face this